It is week four. Welcome everyone to week four of our Jesus Revealed in Purpose, aligning with our 40 days of fasting. To those that are fasting with us or those that are praying with us, I trust that God is strengthening you, equipping you, and giving you all the grace and revelation and more of Him as we walk this journey together. I'm your host, Zinhle, and I'm so pleased and honored that you are, that you're with us. We're very, very grateful. And today we are with a season one returnee in the form of Minister Simpiwe. Minister, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. Good to see you.
Thank you so much, Minister Zinhle. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Season two.
Yeah. And this week is a very, look, the previous week was a bit of a challenging one in terms of the things that we were looking at. Mm-hmm. But I think this week as well is a bit of a one that it's more on sober reflection, because I think it pulls a lot from the last few moments of Christ going to the cross and experiencing his death and his burial and resurrection. So it's the sacrificial purpose or the cost of purpose. And today in day 22, we're looking at falsely accused, but silent.
Yes.
And our reference scripture today is the book of Matthew chapter 27, mm-hmm. from verse 12 to 14, and I'll read just a portion of it. Okay. And it reads as follows. When they arrested Jesus, he did not resist or speak in his own defense. This is very tough, especially against you or us, because we've read the Bible, knowing what the truth is.
Yes.
And he actually had a defense.
Exactly.
But he remained silent. How do we reflect on that, Minister Simpiwe?
So I'm going to reflect on that first by posing a question. Mm. My question is, how did Jesus choose silence over defense? What led him to do that?
Yeah.
I think that will at least give us a broader view of what led to him to decide to sacrifice his life.
Yeah.
So the first part would be before his arrest. So before his arrest, Jesus knew what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was going to happen. And the first thing that he did, he went to his secret place.
Yeah.
He went there just to, because it was heavy on him. He saw what he had to endure. He saw what was coming.
Yeah.
And he needed his father's strength. But also, I like what the Bible tells us, that when he got to get some money, he actually poured out his heart.
Yes.
He told God how he felt. He told God that, if it be your will, Father, take it away. Take this cup away. So the human part of him actually came out, and he was vulnerable to his father. That I feel what I feel. And I love that even when he was, you know, deeply anguished with what was coming,
yeah.
he also did not, he restrained or rather, yes, restrained his will over his father, even in prayer.
Instead
of saying, God, take it away, I want it out in the name of God, because he couldn't say in the name of Jesus. In the name of God, I don't want it, take it away. He actually said, Father, this is how I feel, and if it be your will, take it away. So already in his relationship with his father, already Jesus knew how to restrain his will from, you know, taking his allowing his personal feelings to take over.
Yeah, that is so difficult. And also, look, it's difficult for me to think about in my own person, but I can't imagine how difficult it is in the context of Christ, who is God.
Yes.
Essentially. And what you said there, Minister Simpiwe, around restraint, what is the power of restraint and I guess trusting God's justice? And I'm saying this against these false accusations or against injustice.
Mm-hmm. So the power to restrain, it allows God's will to pass, to come, you know, for his kingdom to come. So because we have, God gave us a will to choose.
Yeah.
Every one of us. And sometimes then our choice prevents God's will to come to pass. Mm. So the power then to restrain is you sacrificing yourself and say, Lord, I want you to use me to allow your will to come on earth, or the heavens to come down on earth.
Sure. Yeah. Even if it, at that point in time, I'm not getting the justice that I feel that I deserve.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So I've got, like, for example, we had Job, whom God actually told the devil to say, did you see my son? Did you see Job? You know, who is, how you call it? Like, he affirmed Job in front of the devil.
Yes,
what I want. He affirmed him, and then after that he said, go and tempt him. Mm. And then through Job losing his children, losing his properties, and even compromising his relationship with his wife, you know, because it was also affected, he restrained himself for the will of the Father to come to pass.
Sure. How do we practically do this? Because another example that comes in my mind, for example, is what happened to Stephen as well.
Yes.
And how he was just pelted with rocks to his death. What is the response against that? Because obviously what's clear is that we should not take vengeance upon ourselves, and we should leave it to God. But while, I guess, we are waiting for God's vengeance, what do we do
in that waiting period? So I guess, because it is the Father who is actually asking you or allowing you to go through what is asking you to go through, or also restrain yourself from taking or defending yourself, it is his responsibility again to keep you in that season, to strengthen you in that season. So I love, that is why I had to go back to what Jesus did before, you know, our secret place with God. That is where we get, it is our refuge. That is where we are fueled. That is where we are affirmed. That is where we know the will of the Father, or reminded, because sometimes the circumstances that are in front of us can actually dictate to you of who you need to or should become, rather than allowing what God called you to become. So there's that thin line of, if we allow the circumstance to dictate to us, or we defend ourselves, then we can compromise the will of the Father concerning our lives.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think maybe then, as we, when we practice that patience, I think I want to go back to the key thing that you highlighted around going into the secret place, and even modeling then what Christ did, what Christ said, because I think what is not happening is Jesus is not necessarily saying to God that I'm happy with what's going on.
Yes.
I'm at peace with what's going on. No, he's truly expressing almost a miscarriage of justice that is going to happen. He's expressing his hurt, his pain, his anxieties and fear around what's to come.
Yes.
But you correctly stated that he did not still impose his will on the Father. Is that the practice that we should apply in our road to restraint and in our road to trusting God's plan?
For me, you know, the Bible clearly tells us that we must follow Christ.
Yeah.
And even Jesus tells us that whatever, if the person that loves him is the one who will keep his word, that will be a confirmation that we love him, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I guess it's a choice of what exactly or the relationship that you have with your father and how much you are willing, you know, to relinquish your will for his will then to happen, you know? So definitely this will be what God wants us to do, you know, and we will never know God's power, God's protection to its fullest if we don't practice what he's telling us to do. We will never get to experience, you know, that God is actually, you know, through all that he takes us through. For example, the life of Job, Job would never actually had to experience God, that he is a God that supplies and that multiplies and that restores and that forgives, and that we will never get to know our Father in his fullness if we don't allow ourselves to do that.
I love that. I love that. And you know, when it comes then to almost a miscarriage of justice or false accusations, how do we go through those experiences? And I'm just trying to think about, even in this present time, we've kept on looking at biblical references, and I just want to see if there are any almost real-time present examples that we can look at and how we just practically work through those.
So in our present times, one thing that I know is God will never change. Whether he's we are still in the Moses time or now, even in the future, God will never change his ways.
Amen.
You know, so that on its own tells us it just, you know, what type of a God that we serve that doesn't change, you know, and will never compromise his purpose for us. So not that he doesn't care, but his mission, even the Bible tells us that seek first the kingdom of God. He's clear on his word. Then everything that you'll need will follow. So in our present time is, you know, it can happen that in your walk with God, God can come to you and say, hey, Simpiwe, the friends that you keep around you, they're not part of the friends that I want you to keep for where I'm taking you. You need to exercise your will. You need to restrain yourself. That means when you start moving away from your friends, they're going to accuse you. They're going to point fingers. They're going to think you are better than them. They're going to think that is part of the accusation. So that's what it translates to in our present time, you know. And God, if God, but that will happen if you are cultivating that relationship where he actually comes and tells you and say, Simpiwe, these friends are not good for you, or this partner is not good for you, or don't take this way, take that way. And all that it happens in the cultivated relationship that you've kept with him.
Wow. So as we wrap this up, Minister Simpiwe, are there within your life where you have seen those false accusations, misrepresentations just come your way, and how did you deal with it? And just, if you also can, just as a nice parting shot to everyone that's listening about that, a bit of a word of encouragement on how to navigate that with the strength of God.
Okay. In my life, there was a time at work where there were, it was an issue with the salaries and all that. And there was a time where we felt as employees that we were not paid properly or correctly. And we came together, you know, as employees, and then we said, because we belong to a union, you know, but we decided not to involve them. We said, no, we want to build a relationship with our employer. So we rather speak to them and then hear what they have to, because we can assume that there is money and there's no money, you know. So we also need to consider those things. So we did that. We wrote a letter to the CFO and then to the HR group HR actually first. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they didn't pay attention to us. So we then decided to escalate it, and then we escalated it. But then during the escalation, the people that we agreed on to say we're not going to involve any external parties, they then felt that they want to then involve the external parties. And to my surprise, I was the only one standing to say, I want to still, you know, sit down with them and then find out and actually first understand where they are, and also put our point on the table and then see if we can come to an agreement. Then they then decided to go to CCMA. Yes. And I was the only one now left in not partaking in the action that process, then the accusation started, and I was then I'm siding with the employer and whatnot, and this is not going to happen if we behave like, and then I was a bad guy. But thank God that at that time I had a relationship with God. And this is actually God saying, you are not going to go that route, you know. I will defend you. Justice will come through me and not people. Yeah. So I had to stand on the word of God versus the word of what the other people say. But then, yes, it came with those. My life was at some time it was at risk. You know, but as I'm saying, God does, you know, protect you. He does. Nothing, no harm came on me. But then it was not an easy journey. Yeah. The one-on-one, and also having people around you that actually know God, you know, that will pray with you, because we went on a fast with my friends and all that. And we had to endure until, thank God, you know, when the CFO, the CEO actually got the news. He came and he saw the discrepancy, and he actually adjusted the salary for the entire company, you know, without even, you know, going to or requesting external parties to come and speak on our behalf. So that showed the power of God, but also that when things are going to change, oppositions are going to come. That is why the word of God is so, so important for you to dwell in. Prayer and that relationship is key, because God's word, it is Jesus himself coming to cover you and to give you his promises.
Amen. God bless you with that testimony, Minister Sinturin. And thank you so much for just giving that parting shot in how we need to just lean on God and his timing and his justice as well. It does not belong to us, but to him.
Yes.
And to everyone then that was listening, I pray this was a blessing to you. This was surely a blessing to me in really waiting for God's appointed time and God's justice, and trusting God's justice as well against false accusations. So as you go out and listen to this in your prayer time, please just reflect on this. Reflect on everything that has the false accusations that you have gone through, and still lean on God's timing. Nevertheless, he will redeem you. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this, I just pray that you continue to follow us on Apple, Spotify, on YouTube as well. Like this, share it. Let it be a blessing, not just to you, to your family, to your friends, and everyone else that you know. So we'll see you next episode. God bless you. and keep well.